Well, God bless you all. You know, God's word is incredible. It's so much bigger than we have a clue. Hey, Chris, you wouldn't mind handing these out, would you? Manifestations this morning. Why is it God has such a knack that he knows what's going on regarding who's going to teach what? And Nancy, when you manifested, you said where God was clear. God said, I love you. And I provided everything you need. I'm going to ask you all a question. Because God provided everything we need, is that indicative of his love? When we got married, we wanted to have a family. And eventually we had children. But what did we do? We went out, we bought a house. We got jobs so that we could provide. We may have rented, it doesn't matter. We got housing. The bottom line is the reason we did that is because of the love that we have for one another as a couple, but it was the love that we have for the children that we were going to bring into being. And today, I'd just like to cover a few different things. And what I'd like to do is show you and let you see for yourself the absolute incredible love of God that we never really consider God's love being manifested and what God did in love in preparation for man so that he could have a family. Turn to Genesis 3, please. This section of scripture in Genesis that I'm going to give you a little synopsis of, beginning in Genesis 1:1. But turn to Genesis 3. That's where we'll read from the Word. But God has indicated his love from before the foundation of the world, his love for us. Genesis 1:1 is he created the heavens and the earth. Sure, there was a little incident that occurred where it became null and void because of that incident that happened. But you know what? God had that all figured out. And as he put everything back together, he had to reestablish the heavens and the earth. He said, let there be light. And what was there? Darkness? No, there was light. And he said that was good. He said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And that firmament divided the water from the water. And what was in between? Dry land and the seas that he brought together. It's called the planet. God said to bring forth herb yielding seed, fruit of its own kind. And we can just go on and on. God made, formed, and created his man, Adam. He saw that Adam needed a helpmate. So he made, formed, and created Eve, taking a rib out of Adam. And as God looked over everything, he said it was what?
Very good.
Very, very good. even in the midst of what occurred in Genesis 1:1, God said it was still very, very good. Well, we all know what Eve did. And she didn't intend to do that. It's just getting tricked. We all make mistakes. And Adam, well, he just followed along. Did that make them bad people? No. But what it did, they lost Holy Spirit. They lost that connection with God. So how did God respond? Did he get all huffy and puffy, angry, throwing a temper tantrum, throwing things around? No. He didn't even complain about it. What did he do? Out of his love, he started laying out to Adam and Eve what they did wrong, why it was wrong. He killed animals to make them clothing. They had clothing out of skins. He taught them about the sacrifice. God taught them about having to grow food and the trials that would come because of the thorns and thistles. He made the promise in Genesis 3:15-16. But let's work our way there and start in Genesis 3, reading verse 13, beginning there. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And thou put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for it was thou taken from the ground, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins, and he clothed them. Not one place in these first three chapters of Genesis does God say, I love you. But when you look at it, it's the love of God pouring out like we've never seen. Because everything he did was because of love. The same for us. Everything we do in thought, word, and deed is because of love. That's why we do what we did for our children and still do. Love is what I've come to learn is the foundation of God's Word. Because without love, we'll never believe. Because without God's love, He would never have created the heavens and the earth. This is not a new doctrine. This is just taking a look, reading what's written, and realizing the greatness of God's love. And that's the reason I said that God's Word is just absolutely so incredible. We just don't really comprehend the greatness of it. Well, God gave Adam and Eve instructions to prepare them for life from the consequences of their disobedience. Because that disobedience was so catastrophic, the decision that they made set mankind towards a path of dealing with life in a world without God, having lost that spiritual connection. We cannot say that they became without God and without hope. You know why? Because of Genesis 3, verses 15, 16, and 17. God set forth in His Word that man needed a Redeemer, a Savior. And He gave us the promise of the coming promised seed, Christ. So it was really awesome to see in how God protected Adam and Eve. He protected His man. So as He brought them out of the garden and did all these things, He also placed cherubims in front of the entrance to the garden. Because then man could no way go back into the garden, eat of the fruit, and become completely unredeemable. That was love. And what God was doing, He was protecting His man so that He could get to the point where He could send His Son so that He could have His family that He's always wanted from before the foundation of the world. That's a pretty awesome thought. God's motivation for everything was that He wanted a family from before the foundation of the world. And the only reason I believe I can say that is because of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He what? He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. He so loved the world before the foundation of the world that He created the heavens and the earth to have a place for His man to raise a family so that God could have a family. God's love is so much greater than we've got a clue. So the things that God did was more than just in His Word. It was in His actions. And what's the one thing we've all learned years ago? If I remember right, learning in the core is, I forget who said it, but somebody said something to the effect that by the things that you do, the actions that you make, the actions that you take, the things you do, is what tells who you are and what's in your heart. Because if we really truly love God, it's going to come from the heart. So, if we ever want to walk a victorious walk, we have to walk with the love of God. We have to walk knowing who and what we are in Christ. But we have to walk with the understanding that God's love and the depth of God's love is greater and began long before Genesis 1:1. We also need to recognize the reason God does things for us is that he's shown us in his word or throughout our day as we walk with him, receiving the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. God wants us to walk a spiritual life. When we walk with God as a spiritual man or woman, we must be paying attention to the circumstances around us. Our victorious walk in him, as we experience life, we get to see the incredible greatness of God's love in our daily life and our daily walk. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Now, a number of these verses that I'll cover, they may seem very elementary, but is there any part of God's word that's elementary? Whether the verse is simple or complicated, the only reason it's complicated is because it's of us not having an understanding of what God is saying. Remember those keys of how Scripture interprets itself? Pretty amazing. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Remember old Adam and Eve? What they do? They ate of the fruit and they died spiritually. Well, God had something up his sleeve. He sent his son. He paid the price. He told the apostles, hey, hang out here in Jerusalem and there's going to be a comforter coming. One day, one day, Acts 2:1, cloven tongues like as a fire. There were over 3,000 people in attendance, and every one of them heard God praised in those manifestations that was spoken in the tongues of those that were present in the speaking in tongues. The reason for that was what? Spirit, Holy Spirit, the new birth. When you're born again, it's God. You receive Holy Spirit. You get born again. You receive that Holy Spirit, which is God, who was in Christ, who is now where? In you, in us. And you know what that's indicative of? Adam lost it because they disobeyed. Because of Jesus Christ, we got the new birth when we do what Romans 10:9 and 10 says, But there's a pretty cool little thing here that occurred because of it. Back in Genesis, God lost his family because of disobedience. In Acts 2 and following, God regained his family. And because of Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit is seed of the new birth. And when we were born of the seed of our Father. Can we lose that?
No.
Well, when we got born again because of the seed of God in Christ in us, Holy Spirit, can we lose that?
No.
So who won? God won. Take a look at Romans 3. So once again, you know, God, it's not mentioned in the word love isn't there in those verses. But yet, God's love is so evident. God indicates to us in his word the love that he has for us in ways that it's so cool. It's so massive. And the thing about the love that God loves us with like that, we have got to love ourselves. Later on, you want to take a read that paper. And I found one day just searching on the internet, and I saw this video. This video spoke of water being looked at under a microscope by this one scientist. And what he discovered, that when negative things were spoken, it caused these black triangle things to form in the water. Our body's made of 70 to 85% water. So if we don't speak to ourselves what God says about us and speak positively, we are literally affecting our body's health. That's what this scientist discovered. So there's a reason why God wants us to put his word on, because he wants us to claim his word. He wants us to renew our minds to who and what we are in Christ, so that we can have what God has made available because of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the perfect example of the renewed mind. And not today, but I'm going to be getting more into love. And Reverend Bader, Daniel Bader, did an incredible work on a book. The name of it just slips my mind, but it's a study on love. And just one of the sections in there, I'm loving it. Just one of the sections in there, he mentions, I forget which verse, but God agapeos us. Well, the definition of agapeo that we learned is the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation. Let me ask you, does God have to renew his mind to love us?
No.
Good point. But we have to renew our mind, because look at the things we're dealt with in life. We're dealing with things where it's easy to want to be negative, want to get mad, want to get angry, want to say this or that. And what's happening when we do that? We get our mind off the word. That's why we have to renew our minds. And God doesn't care if that happens, because he knows our flesh is weak. But you know what he does care about? Is what do we do to love ourselves big enough to get back on the Word? Getting back on the Word isn't an issue of obeying God. Getting back on the Word is accepting God's love to where we love ourselves big enough to believe what God says. Does that make sense? And I see things like that too often. I think we all do. It's all part of being human. Well, I would kind of like just to summarize. You know, God's love is so much bigger than we've got a clue. And each one of us can go to the Word, and we can read. Right now we're in the advanced class, and those incredible records of how God has worked with so many different people, with Abraham, with Joshua, with Moses. You see on how they had to change their minds. And this is in their Old Testament. They were servants. They did not have the Holy Spirit. They had to change their minds to believe God, to trust God, to do what God had asked them to do. And they were successful because they trusted God. We got Holy Spirit. We've got seed. We can't lose it. We're God's sons and daughters. We've got a leg up on them. But we're part of what God won, because there's no way the adversary can make us lose it. It's impossible. But the one thing he can do is challenge us, try to trip up our days so we don't love ourselves big enough to accept God's love. But God's love is so great. He wanted a family from before the foundation of the world. And that's the reason he created the heavens and the earth, was to give his family a home. When we got married, the reason we got housing, got jobs, and did everything we did, we knew we were going to have kids. The Word says we're supposed to procreate. So what did we do? We did everything in preparation to love our children. That's not anything different than what God did before Genesis 1:1. That's the reason I'm saying that God's love is so much bigger. Well, he created Adam and Eve and got to us, got a great family. So because of God's incredible love for us, even in man's fallen state, God taught Adam and Eve about the sacrifice and gave them clothes from animal skins. God also told them about planting crops, working to grow food, how to raise the animals, and all those different things. Everything man needed to know, God instructed them. Why? Love. Because of his love. Because God loved us, and because of God wanting a family, God gave us hope in Genesis 3. How the woman's seed would bruise the serpent's head, and how the serpent's head would be bruised. would bruise Christ's heel. Now, because of all this, both before and after, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When we made Jesus Christ our Lord, when we believed that God raised him from the dead, we were born again, as Romans 10, 9, and 10 says. It literally happened. There's some of us out here that when we confessed and believed Romans 10, 9, and 10, we spoke in tongues. That's what they did in Acts. We freely accepted God's free gift of love, the new birth. We freely accepted the new birth. We freely accepted by the willingness. We were willing to accept God in Christ, in us, the hope of glory. So yeah, we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus when we chose to be born again. And remember that word chose, because that's what we did. We chose. We made that fundamental choice deliberately in our minds. We chose to believe God. And we confess so. Romans 10, 9 and 10. We received Holy Spirit. It's God and Christ in us, the hope of glory. And now we're sons and daughters of God. And that'll never change. It can be 100 gazillion, trillion, gazillion, billion years from now, and we're still going to be God's sons and daughters. But the difference is we're going to be together as a family in eternity. The love of God's poured out in our hearts. And I would like to close with this statement. I don't know about anybody else, but me, when I read the Word, the first time I ever read the Word and was doing what I could to believe God, God showed me something, and it stuck with me in my heart. And I still believe it today. God's Word is living and real, right?
Yes, it is.
Well, if God's Word is living and real, what God showed me for me, because I needed to see this, and it's what he showed me because of me being who I am. Every moment of every day in our life, what does our heart do? Bum, 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 bum. It just beats consistently, right?
Yes. Better be.
Well, what God showed me, for me, was when I read the Word and when I study the Word, the words on that page are going bum, 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 bum. I know it's a kind of a silly thought, but God's love is incredible. And that's the reason Isaiah 49:15 is an incredible thing. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. They will. Yet, God says, yet will I not forget thee. God wanted each and every one of us from before the foundation of the world to be his family. Adam and Eve lost Holy Spirit, lost that connection. And then in Genesis 3, 15, 16, and 17, God set out the hope that Christ was coming to redeem man, and that so-so would end up paying the price for what he did, and that he would have a family, and that Holy Spirit, Acts 2, would come to us, that we would receive it, where we could manifest it, and we're born again. And God said, yet will I not forget thee. I'm going to pray. God, thank you. Thank you so much for the love that you have for us. And God, we can say that we just love you so very much. We're just so very thankful and grateful, Father, for you, for your Son, Jesus Christ. And to look at and consider your word, to see what it is throughout history, the things that you had to do to bring us to the point where Acts 2 could be a reality and that you could have a family, your deepest desires, and that we just need to remember, God, that your desire for a family was greater than our desire to have a family, because you're God. You're so much bigger. And to consider what it is for you to have gotten to this point to have us as your family, from those before us, from Acts 2 on, until Christ returns. Thank you, Father, for your love, for your grace, for your kindness, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for helping us to remember not only you and your Son, but to remember your word, but yet to remember the great love that you have for us, because you've done so many things, and your love in the things that you've accomplished is so wonderful, God, and it's so great that without the actions that you have taken, we could not be here and be born again, be your sons and daughters with God and Christ in us. Thank you, God, that may this day be a victorious day for us, and may we walk in the victory that you have provided for us because of your Son, Christ Jesus, being willing to give his life. Thank you, God, for raising him from the dead and for us having God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen.